Today is about a story. It's a story of our hearts. And so, as I begin this story, let me ask for your heart today. It's Palm Sunday, and this literally is the greatest story ever told. So, as a father who loves you, I'm going to ask that you put away your watch. Give me your heart, and I want you to listen to a story. The story began 6 weeks ago as we gathered after Ash Wednesday, and we entitled the story Rescued through a picture of a fire helmet on the bulletin, and promised you that as the story unfolded, that it would all make sense when we landed on this sacred day called Palm Sunday. And on that day when we began the story, we told you how each of us was made for encounter, that God wanted to encounter us, not only this Lent, but he wanted us to encounter him specifically on Good Friday as we kiss the cross, specifically on Palm Sunday as we proclaimed his passion. And we said that on that day we were all made for encounter. And that week two, we talked about how while made for encounter, we said we often push away from the encounter, because oftentimes when he gets too close to the places in our heart that we feel that we're protecting ourselves in, that we don't want anybody to touch, we can push him away. We recoil at what he wants to touch. And that led us into week three, where we all admitted that we were thirsty for God. He is the only one who can quench our thirst. And even though we often push away from God, it doesn't change our nature. It doesn't change who we are. We are all thirsty for God. And when we are thirsty for God, we become vulnerable to beginning to attempt to quench the thirst with things that are not of God. And we become susceptible to temptation. This, if presented the right way, when all the other natural things line up in one way, you put this in front of a fish and all he sees is this. It looks too good to be true. You put this in front of a fish, you present it the right way, and you begin to make it so appealing, it can't say no. Now the person on the other end of the line, the person on the other end of the rod and reel, knows exactly what he's doing. He is presenting the fish this, because this is what he's interested in. You only present a fish this so that he can get hooked on this. And last week, Brother Bryce walked you through what it sounds like when this is presented to you. Last week, we went through that long list of I'm bound. Last week, we went through that long list of deliver me, because we, whether we know it or not, have this whispering in our minds and our hearts all day long. There's always another person who's making this thing shake. And there is a person in your life who is presenting this to you. Now, a fisherman only has one reason for putting this in the water. You're going here. Now, let me tell you what happens here. You don't unhook yourself if you're a fish. You can't. If this thing is properly set, you cannot unhook yourself. Oprah can't unhook you. Dr. Phil cannot unhook you. All the magazines at the checkout line, they can't unhook you. Whether you believe in God or not, whether you believe in evil or not, whether you believe in sin or not, you cannot unhook yourself when you get hooked. And the only thing that happens to a fish when he gets hooked is this. And when you're hooked, there's one result. You die a slow, horrible death. That's the point of fishing. And the enemy knows that when people are thirsty, when people grow resigned, that eventually we become bound. He tosses it out there. It looks too good. Now look, here's the thing. This ain't food, but it's presented to you as food. And it teases the fish that it's food. But temptation never gives you what it promises you. The only thing temptation does is lure you into death. That's the first part of the story. Here, right here. Now here's a problem. We listen to this story through the lens of that story, which is the story we just proclaimed. But for permission today, let's not do that. Let's just consider another story that is even more important than this story. In the beginning, here's a second story. There was another group of people. We call that Adam and Eve. And in the beginning, in the garden, Genesis 1 and 2, Adam and Eve have everything they need. There's a perfect communion between Adam and Eve because there's a perfect communion between man and God. It's perfect here. It's awesome here. There's union. There is no sin and there is no death. At the end of one's earthly existence, there's a different transition into God in the afterlife. There's no death as we know it now. In Genesis chapter 1 and 2. Now the startling thing for us today is that long before Jesus walked the planet, somebody else did. Before Jesus was on the earth, somebody else was. And he entered into the garden. And he lured Adam and Eve, and he said, shh, you can eat the fruit. Let me tell you why God doesn't want you to eat that fruit. Because you'll be like him, and you won't need him. Come on. Eat it. And they did. And that's where the story started. Now, in Genesis 1 and 2, there's no ice chest. And in Genesis chapter 3, what happens is now there's an ice chest. And when sin entered the equation in humanity, death now enters the equation. And so, when Moses dies, he's dead. When Abraham dies, he's dead. When Rachel dies, dead. When David dies, dead. The prophets, dead. Everybody before Jesus, once you die, dead, dead, dead. That's it. Just like the fish, you're stuck. That's the story. There is no heaven before Jesus. Jesus Christ is not a way so you can become happy on earth. Jesus Christ is not somebody, if you put him in your life, you'll have some balance. Jesus Christ is not another aspect of living a harmonious life. Let me tell you what that is. That is the voice of our nation and our culture and modern day Christianity that says, yeah, accept Jesus. But you don't really need him. But it's good to want him. Here's the thing. Everybody's in hell without Jesus. Now, I don't say that to scare you. I'm not one who says if you do this, you're going to hell. That's not where I'm going. I'm just telling you, we're all in hell without Jesus. Because when you're in here, listen, I can't get out. All the effort in the world, all the positive thinking in the world, everything that people told you out there who like God without religion or spirituality without rules, they're all in here. You can't get out. You're stuck. I have never met a fish on his own effort or intellect said, I don't like being in here. I want to get out. No, you're in here. And the only way you can get out of the ice chest is if somebody from the outside comes down, knows where you are, enters in to death, and says, I am coming to rescue you. And that's his name. Jesus means he who saves, he who rescues us. What we just proclaimed is the good news that death doesn't win. There's more than the ice chest now. The gospel we just proclaimed is good news for all of us. If you're a sinner, that's okay. That's why he came. If you walked into church today and you really don't know a whole lot about God, that's okay. He came to rescue you. If you're trying to get your life together right now, he came to rescue you. If you're marginal, that's okay. He came to rescue you. If you consider yourself on fire, he came to rescue you. This is what happens on the cross. God enters into death and opens up heaven. I can breathe. Thank God. I've been rescued. Tell you another story. Now, this story might touch close to home, and if it does, please accept my apologies, but also let me ask for your permission to help us all today. So sometimes the physical circumstances of life or the chapters of our personal story might sound a lot like this one, so if it's yours, stay with me. I love you. But I want to tell you a story about me and you. Bob. I'm Bob. You're Bob. We're all Bob. Bob is 40. Bob lives in Thibodaux. He lives right there on Talbot, going to really highway. He lives in a big stretch of apartments, and you know, the only thing different from his condo from the next condo is the little mat that you put there and the little wreath you put on the door, because that's the only thing that gives you any kind of autonomy, right? And he works in the oil field in middle management. And Bob's not real happy. Bob's caught up. Bob's 40. He has no idea what happened to 30s. He's 40 now. He gets up in the morning. He goes to work. He comes home. He gets up into work. He goes to work. He comes home. He gets up. Thank God it's Wednesday. The weekend's coming. I don't have to go to work. And he's just doing this all day long. Bob at 40 doesn't look like he thought it would look like at 40. He thought he'd be like higher up with the company, but he's just kind of stuck where he is. And he sits at work and he looks outside the window. He thinks about the weekend. I hope it's pretty this weekend. It's Easter weekend. Maybe we can boil crawfish. Maybe we can, I don't know, go to a fair. You know, I don't know. But I hate my job. And he goes back to the meeting and he's shuffling papers, grabbing reports, making reports, getting more reports, making more reports. And that's all he does. He comes home at the end of the night. He goes to the wellness center with the other 8,000 people who try to use only 16 treadmills. That's okay, right? Then he comes back out of the wellness center. And the most exciting thing for him is he gonna stop at Big Mike's on the way home? Is he gonna stop by El Paso because it's pretty and they have those 75,000 ounce big margaritas? I can get one of those, right? That's gonna help because I just got off the treadmill. So then he gets out of El Paso. Maybe he passes that up because he's trying to be good. He grabs one of those TV dinners from his freezer. He eats that. Then of course he says what you always say when you eat one of those TV dinners. Why did I eat the TV dinner, right? You know, and so he watches a little TV and he kind of prays at the end of the day, but not really praying at the end of the day. And that's Bob. It's a Thursday night at 10 o'clock and Bob goes to bed. And Bob wakes up 4 hours later at 2 a.m. And Bob can't breathe because there's smoke everywhere. Thank God he woke up because he was in smoke inhalation. And he was dying and he didn't even know it. Gets out of bed. Man, everything you learn in second grade comes back to him. He gets low to the ground. He starts crawling toward the back door. Puts his hand up, grab the back door. And that's it. Smoke inhalation. Bob wakes up outside, confused. He wakes up, somebody coming up to him with that little bitty thing of orange juice, right? And he takes the orange juice. He's confused. He's like, where am I? Lights all over the place, water all over the place. Something's on fire. He's like, man, how did I get out here? I was in there. Oh my God. Oh my God. My house is on fire. I was there, but I'm not there. I'm here. I have no idea how I got here. Oh my God. I was in the fire. I have no idea how I got out. I could have died. He's confused. Bob looks up. And this guy starts walking close to Bob. It's a fireman. Says, hey, Bob. My name is Jesus. And I went in and I pulled you out. Bob, you didn't deserve it. You didn't ask for it. You didn't help me. You couldn't help me. I did it because that's what I do. I'm a fireman. I rescue people. And he looks at you and says, I made a decision. Nobody forced me to do it. Nobody really asked me to do it other than my father. I made a choice to put my body on the line, and I walked into the scariest moment of your life when you were dying and you didn't even know it. And I walked into that burning building and I rescued you. What would you say? If you were on the ground, barely able to breathe, this guy walked up to you and said, hey, I'm the one who pulled you out of a burning building. I'm the one who saved your life. What would you say? Wouldn't you look at him and say, oh, thank you? Wouldn't you look at him and say, what's your name? Wouldn't you look at him and say, man, tell me who you are. If you were rescued and you could come face to face with the person who rescued you, what would you say? To look at him and say, thank you, I got it now, would be the most narcissistic, self-centered, focused on you, promising you your self-imposed prison of destruction. If you looked at the fireman and said, I got it from here. Completely narcissistic. Unhuman. If the fireman looked at me and said, I saved you, I would say, thank you very much. I have no idea how to repay you. Unless the fireman said this to you. Check this out. Fireman looks at you and says, hey, building's still on fire. Fireman looks at you and says, hey, your kids are in the building. Your grandkids are in the building. 20 more families in the building. And the fireman says, I'm going back in. And he says, hey, look, no pressure. You can say no. But look, I got an extra hat. I got some extra gear. Here's the thing. Put it on. You stay right next to me. You stay on my hip. It's dangerous in that. But if you stay on my hip, I need your help. People are dying. They don't even know it. And I'm going back in to rescue more. Stay on my hip. Do exactly what I tell you to do. We can save some more people. Your family's in there. What would you say? If Alice, my niece, my brothers were in that building, my mom and dad were in that building, I would say, I have no idea, I'm not a fireman, but give me some gear, I'm going in with you. Being Catholic is not about getting something. Being Catholic is not about confessing something. Being Catholic is about saying, I'm in. There's a battle. There's a fire. There's a fireman. I'm with you in the mission. This is what it means to be Christian. This is what it means to be Catholic. This is Palm Sunday. That's why you came to church today, because of this story. I am rescued. I don't want to tell that to the world. And he's got a name. And I am thankful to a person, Jesus Christ, who saved me. And every day, he looks at us and says, will you follow me back into the fire? And right now, he is looking at you, asking the same question. So I want you to close your eyes with me just for a second. Just close your eyes. I want you to forget about everybody else in the church. Just close your eyes. Imagine not being able to go to heaven. And imagine with whatever your secrets are and whatever your sin is, imagine Jesus Christ walking into that darkness and rescuing you today. And he said, would you follow me? What would you say to him? Right now, as we proclaim the passion of Jesus Christ, he is knocking on the door of your heart. And some of us in church today cannot not but hear it. He's knocking on your heart right now. And some of us, maybe not all of us, but some of us know what it's like to be saved from a burning building, maybe physically, but certainly spiritually. And if he were looking at you right now, what would you want to say to him? Now, you don't have to. But if you want to right now, either for the first time or maybe just to renew what you've already done, if you'd like to say yes to him with your will, and if you'd like to surrender your life to Jesus Christ in the silence of your heart, just say, Lord, I surrender, in the silence of your heart. And if that's where you are, just maybe as a physical sign, just by yourself, eyes closed, don't worry about anybody else, just kind of open your hands, just kind of leave them where they are. And just say, Lord, I surrender in silence in your heart. And if for some of us, you are grateful today and you're ready to go into a building and follow him, you don't have to, but I'm wondering if you could maybe make a stand for him, and in that making a stand, maybe even stand. So you don't have to do it because of anything. You don't have to do it because of anybody. But if you want to just surrender your life to Jesus Christ right now, I ask that you stand with me. You don't have to. Don't do it because anybody else is doing it. Just do it because you want to do it. If you want to make a stand, if you just want to say, Lord, I thank you, you don't have to go anywhere, just kind of stand up in your pews right now. You don't have to. You can sit down. It's okay. But like if you're ready and you say, Jesus Christ, I am ready to give my life to you, that's the only reason I want you to stand, you can just like keep your eyes closed. Don't worry about who else is standing. It's just you and him right now. And if you're ready to surrender to rescued, just want you to repeat these words out loud with me now. Jesus, I surrender my life to you. Jesus, I cannot rescue myself. Jesus, I was stuck in death. And Jesus, you came to rescue me. I surrender to you my life. I surrender to you my finances. I surrender to you my family. I surrender to you my past. I surrender to you my future. I surrender to you my excuses. And I give you permission to enter every part of my life. Heavenly Father, receive the yes of your people. Receive the yes of your sons and daughters. In the name of Jesus Christ and the authority of the Word made flesh, the name upon which every knee must bend, under the earth and on the earth and above the earth. In the name of God as Father, in the name of the Holy Spirit which binds him, and in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, we bind all evil spirits, the companion spirits, and the enemy himself, and we ask for deliverance in your life today from anything that would prevent your yes. May you be free today in the name of Jesus. May the graces of your yes be sealed as you receive communion today. And may Almighty God pour forth blessings upon all of us today in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let's be seated.